And this week, this month, actually, on the Council's Connection show, I've got some special guests. I've got our library. So Katie from Libraries, had a little chat with her on Monday about having what's happening in the libraries. But also got Josh here from the Wes Ben Judy Footy Club, talking about a bit of the club's history, celebrating 70 years as a junior football club. And they've got some new happy stuff happening with a cafe they're reopening as well, but also some big fundraising events as well. So having a chat with Josh today about that. And then at the end of the show, some updates about all the great things happening in the Valley and Upper Yarra coming in June. Film festival and spoken word and winter warming bonfire and the Wild Community Group are running as well. So lots on offer. But first off, g'day, Josh.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, good. Thanks for coming along. Now, Josh, thank you so much for having the late call. I called you today about 10 o'clock saying, got plans this afternoon. Coming on radio. And you definitely said, yeah, yes, please. So I appreciate that. You were out late last night working hard with all the storms and clearing power lines. But so thanks so much for coming today.
You're welcome, mate. No worries. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And so first off, tell us a bit about your connection with the Junior Footy Club in Wesburn. Tell us, where did it start?
Yeah, so I joined Wesburn, I think it was around 2000, in the under-14s.
Yeah.
And spent my juniors there. I lived in East Warburton, so that was the closest junior club. And then, went through there and ended up at Warburton. Warburton Millgrove and... Yeah, it didn't do much, but it was fun.
Yeah. And we're chatting beforehand, it's like, it's interesting, like I played junior sport as well, and being a young person and being in a junior club or being around a sporting club where you have, you know, these older mentors around you, which is so powerful. Like, it's great having family and especially male role models or other role models at home and family, but having somebody outside your family as a role model, especially when you're teenagers.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think especially part of our community, community football's massive.
Yeah.
For our and like broader sports as well now, but back then there wasn't much else. But definitely to have those role models, especially if you don't have positive role models or like even a father figure or mother figure or something like that in your private life, you can come to those community sort of organisations and you have people that genuinely care and develop you through those things. So I think they're a really important piece of our community, and it's good to be a part of the junior club now.
Yeah, it's amazing. And 70 years young, junior club.
Yeah, 70 years.
Yes.
So it's a good milestone for the club, especially being an independent junior club as well.
Mm.
And it's pretty rare that you can withstand the trials and tribulations over that
Yeah, many
years,
there's not so many. Like, there's lots of junior clubs that always has a senior club.
Yeah, so
together. So you're a standalone junior club, which is quite not common, really.
No, so it was originally formed to serve a multiple array of senior clubs around 70 years ago. So there were older junior clubs, but then they sort of up our way, they filtered back into the one being Wesburn. And then since then, a lot of our people are Warburton Millgrove people, and they do sponsor us as a senior club as well. So we do have a close ties with them, but with our facilities, our accounts, everything's independent. So
it's amazing to see. Yeah, are there many other just standalone junior clubs across the outer east? I think.
Not really.
Yeah.
There used to be South Belgrave, but they joined the AFNL.
Yeah.
So, we're pretty much... So, I think we're the only one.
It's pretty... Yep. Something to be proud of, especially 70 years. Because, you know, when you have a seniors, it gives you more longevity.
Yeah, definitely.
For memberships and for the committee and... Yep. To get fundraising and all that stuff, having it like that.
Well, you share the cost, don't you?
Yeah.
And you've got a bar and you take tickets at the gate and things like that.
So, yes. Which is a big, you know, for footy clubs, you know, that ticket taking for game days is a big income for them. And it makes them financially sustainable. So for juniors, you don't have that.
No,
it's a big challenge.
Yeah, it is. So we survive on sponsorship, we survive on grants, things like that. But we are lucky to be one of the bigger junior clubs in the competition.
So and you've grown quite a lot in the last few years. So where are you now with regards to your membership and your players?
Yeah, so we have 240 registered kids.
Yes.
And we have 104 girls participating. So, look, it's one of those things where we have a really good coverage of the community, and yeah, we're pretty proud on what we deliver
in terms of
an organisation and what we can put on the park. So,
and having the female members there, those girl memberships, really is huge. Like, you think of maybe when did that start? When was your first junior girls? And how it's grown so quickly as well.
Yeah, the first junior girls started, the first team was in 2016.
Yeah.
And then they struggled a little bit to get a team on the park. And then COVID hit. And that was on the back burner.
Yeah.
And then in 2022, we re-energized it. We got it all back up and running again. And we started with the under-14s and an under-12s. And then those under-14 girls now have come through. They're playing senior football.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's really cool to see the progression and how also we won the grand final in the first year. So that really put the excitement around the program. And then when you got the excitement and girls want to be there and, creating a safe, fun place where you're adding value to their lives and you're seeing the confidence grow.
Yeah.
It just, they bring their friends in and then it builds organically. So it's really, really good program to have.
What a growth from 2016.
Yeah.
A few years of playing, then you got COVID and that makes everything, mucks everything up.
Definitely.
And then to recover from that and then grow to 104.
Yeah. Yep.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. So we're currently running an under 10 girls, an under 12 girls, an under 14s, and under 16s.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so what do you see is that key driver in that growth, like to have, because it's really hard to start new clubs and new teams and get enough to put a team together.
It's hard every year. Every year it's hard to get the numbers because, they come and they go.
Yeah, especially for footy too, like basketball, great, five players, great, we've got a team. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Footy, you need three times that.
Yeah,
you
know? So we're lucky that under the league bylaws we can have a minimum of 12. And then minimum of 14 for the under 16. So we can get away. And then we've got the evening up rules. And when it comes to the girls' footy and stuff, our community in the outer east is pretty good. So we're all there for the same reason. We're trying to build the programs up and everyone's there for the girls, not for those rivalries and competitions as much. So it's actually when you need something and you can reach out to the other teams, they're pretty accommodating as well. So, for us, it's just now we got boys at our club growing up with girls in footy, and that's normal.
And then
our girls play footy, and that's normal, and that's awesome. Yes. And for me, like my daughter in the under 14s, and I say it because I've coached for 5 years for the girls too. I don't just want to dribble on about the girls because I'm the vice president always, but so the boys are really important as well.
Yes, of course.
But the confidence that we see the girls program. How we develop our girls and their confidence and brings them on so quickly in comparison to if they weren't in such an environment where they have to overcome challenges and find themselves in pressure situations and how they react and things like that. So, and having a big group of girls around them and a blanket of positivity, they all lifting each other up to succeed a common goal. Like, I think that's invaluable.
Absolutely. Well. And it's like, for juniors, it's 2016 they start, and obviously boys have been going for a long time. So that thing is it's normal. It's been 10 years. So, when they were 2 years old, they'll run around with probably their big sister or their family and they're seeing it. And now, this is what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's part of the club. It's amazing how that sort of the new normal.
Women's
footy is it's part of the club. It's
a game
it's
for
part
everyone.
Culture. Yeah. It's
not just the one gender. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that we're really proud. And we see that at our club and we see that at other clubs around us too. So it's, really cool to see.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And so people, 70 years young, the club is, and you've got your pavilion, your clubhouse at the Wesbourne Rec Reserve, and you've got some dreams for that too.
We do, yes.
But if people haven't been, that understand, because the Wesbourne Junior Footy Club, where the pump track is and the playground there and there's the mountain bikes, so can you give people a bit of a visual of your current facilities?
Yeah, so...
And when were they, and because they were community built as well.
They were, originally... When the Wesbourne Junior Footy Club was set up, it was an old racetrack. So it was set up as a youth hub, not a football club.
That whole rec reserve used to be a racetrack.
Yeah, it was. So it was they used to have picnic races and things like that there. So, and then it went to a, and I could be wrong, there could be history buffs out there, that, but to my understanding, to my knowledge, it was a go-kart track down the bottom.
Yeah.
They still ran races there as well, and in the middle was the football club.
Yeah.
And then later on came the pony club and adult riders, and then they had netball courts and tennis courts and things like that up there as well. So it was designed for a youth hub in its original conception. So we're trying to get back to that, but it was a Wesburn boys club.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make it a Wesburn youth hub.
Yeah, and a big change in the last 10 years to
definitely
change that.
Yeah. So from where it started, I think the club went to Millgrove for a little bit while the Melbourne Water put the oval in. They built the oval back in the 60s.
I think.
There you go, yes. And then early 70s. And then they built the new rooms, a community-driven project. Most of the bricks, the concrete, everything was done by members of the club.
Donated their time, donated their labour.
So that's... Like, they're pretty proud of that too.
Yes.
So they've still got, you got old Neil Morris, and his dad founded the club back in the 50s. And you've got a lot of families, especially up here, that they're still in the club generations.
Yes.
And they built that club. So when they used to use the old jockey rooms before that. So, 1983, we got the new rooms, and it pretty much has stayed the same since. I think that we've added a scorer's box, but... since then, we've seen the area with the introduction of the mountain biking, the amount of user groups, we're pretty unique.
Yeah.
In, because we do have that second oval, we can have carnivals, things like that in the footy scheme of things. But then you've got the Pony Club and the Adult Riders, they have their
festivals,
their
events there.
And things. Yep. You've got Ecos across the road that use the space. And now the introduction of mountain bikers, if you go there on a Friday or a tradie Monday RDO,
busy.
It's full.
Yeah.
So, and then you've got the upgrade of the park and everything there.
Yeah, the playground there, little pump truck there. Yeah. So it's a new play space for parents and kids.
So it's a natural sort of mecca for the youth. At the moment, and as we'll go on to talk about, we're sort of trying to take advantage of that
as
an organisation.
Yeah, we'll come back to that too. For a song, we'll talk about that was a past, now soon we'll move into that what's happening presently now, and then a bit of a next dream as well.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, beautiful. All right. And next up, we've got a Fuel from Shimmer.
Fills up enough lies.
and welcome back to the Council's Connection. I'm here with Josh from the Junior Footy Club. We'll just be hearing about a bit of the history in the past of the Wesburn Junior Footy Club for the last 70 years. And now we're chatting about the present. And you got some new stuff happening recently as well around the Bulldog Cafe.
That's it, the Bulldog. Yeah. Get down, have a coffee. Best coffee in the valley.
Yeah.
Start of the year, we changed committee as a committee with the incoming and the launch of the bike park. We sort of had to sit down together and have a bit of a brainstorm as the new committee on how that sits and how we're going to work with that and all the user groups and the increased usership of the area.
Yes.
So, and we thought, what better way? And we presented it to council. Originally, it started, it's funny with these things. Once there's we've got this sort of philosophy is no idea is a bad idea.
Yes.
Until it's trialed.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll just see how we go. So,
yeah, yeah.
The start of it was just because we used to have a coffee van and we loved the coffee van. It was awesome, but we needed to be able to generate more income for the footy club.
I mentioned before, senior clubs, you got the takings from the gate, they've got that income, but juniors, you've got to where do you get that income?
We don't have a gate, everything that comes in the club goes straight back into the kids, which is the way it probably should be. But, with the development, Wesburn Park development, and we needed to have a contribution to that as a club, it just wasn't feasible for us to keep operating the way we were.
Yes.
So, what we did is we originally were going to bring coffees in.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and the president talk every 5 minutes. It blew up into let's run a full-fledged cafe.
Yeah.
To take advantage of the traffic from the bikers.
Yes.
Because originally, that was going to be the start and finish point of they get on their shuttles and they go up, and we're of the mind that if we don't grow with the bike park, then it's a missed opportunity, and we're in a really unique space there. So it's probably on us to be able to
take up opportunity,
make that opportunity happen. So I got on Facebook Marketplace and I was a bit cheeky, and I found a coffee machine in Mount Evelyn, and I messaged her and I said, Jules. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know at the time, but she's from the Tasty As Cafe and operates a cafe out of the community hub in Mount Evelyn as well.
Yes, yeah.
And I messaged her, and I didn't know at the time, and I thought she would tell me to get stuff. But I said, will you donate this as a sponsorship to the football club, junior footy club, and we in turn we'll give you a sign or whatever you want, And then she messaged me back, can I call you? And I was like, she's going to give me a spray. But she called me and she explained what she did around people with all abilities and getting them work ready. And this is pretty much one of the lines that we came up with in terms of what a coffee and making coffee and things like that would provide for us is training for our kids too. So our under 14s, under 16s kids, they can come in, they can learn how to be a barista, food handlers, things like that. If they proved that they were really dedicated to, that's what they wanted to do, we'll put them through their barista course as well and things like that. Just a bit of development of our people.
Absolutely. And I think giving those juniors, that responsibility.
That's right.
You can be part of this and give them the opportunity to contribute.
Well, you give them a leg up in life too.
Absolutely.
So they go out and they get a job and they've got real work skills. They don't have to be taught nothing. They can just jump in and go, which is valuable to an employer.
Absolutely.
And that's what we want to see from our young kids as well. It's not just footy that we do. We're actually building these kids to be adults as well.
Yes.
Giving them the value. So that was a really good education piece that we can implement just by having a coffee machine. So, So I reached out to Jules. Jules explained what she did. Our philosophies really met. We went over. I saw what she did, and she gave us the coffee machine, which we're really really appreciative. She donated it. I then contacted Silver's Coffee just around the corner from us, and Wayne and Cleo were awesome. They provide our coffee, our Bulldogs blend.
Yeah,
best blend in the Bay. And he pretty much serviced the machine, so it's all brand new.
Yeah,
so I'd put a new element in it, and yeah, away we went. And then me and Luke, we had everything running and we looked at each other and said, well, we don't know how to make coffee, so how are we going to teach other people to make coffee? And I was lucky enough, one of the girls that I coach, her mum has been in hospitality her whole life.
Amazing.
Really amazing coffee maker. And
yep,
she's put her hand up to manage our cafe but also be that, the coffee coach.
Coffee coach.
So
yeah.
Terry, she came up and she does all that good work for us along with other people. So we started on a soft launch.
Mm-hmm.
So just to get our systems right.
Yeah, we'll test out.
We obviously had to change the canteen. Canteen was a little bit dated.
Upgrades there. Yeah, sure it's already. Yep.
So I had to upgrade for the higher volume of people. And then, yeah, so it was trial and it was still finding our feet there. But it's, because obviously now it's football season. We are flat out on Sunday with football. And because it's winter, the bike patronage has got down a little bit.
Yep.
But the beauty of it is we've got some tables out the front now.
Yeah.
We've got like every week there's something.
And it's the, I've never been there, it's the most spectacular view.
Amazing, the best view of the valley.
It is. You sit there, like all the pavilions, those clubs around Yarrang just have these, the clubs there and the ovals there have amazing views, but the Wesburn is just spectacular because you sit there, cafe's behind you, you're undercover there, look up there, there's a gorgeous mountains range, there's Mount Donavuang right there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a stunning place for it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's one thing I don't take for granted is the view. If I could put a house there and look at it, it's all I have to settle for going there every second night. But yeah, so that's how we've gone. We've got Maria, Corrie and Mick Corrie, who people might know from the Millgrove Residence Group. They do the the Millgrove Reserve there. They're one of our big, they're famous
for
being selfless people, and
amazing.
That's the case for us too. They come in, Maria's our sandwich chef. She does all the yummy toasties and everything, and keeps everyone in their place. She's our coffee queen, and Mick gets told what to do by Maria.
Listen to the boss.
Yeah, so that's pretty much how we started, and then everyone else, like, it's a community-led project, so everyone's in there doing their bit every now and then. So, it's running really well, and, we just expect it to keep growing and see where it takes us.
It's incredible, and on the show we talk a lot about asset-based community development and talking about what the strengths of the community and the assets, you know, the places, the people, their skills, their passions.
Yeah.
And this is a great example of that. You're like, you've got the place, the footy club, you've got the volunteers there, you link out with Tasty Az who offer you the donation of coffees of the machine, and Silver supporting as well, and the volunteers and the young people all involved.
Yeah, and look,
in creating this place.
Look, I'm probably biased because I grew up here, but I think our community, when it is community-based, I think we've all got that core value in us because we rely on each other so much up here.
Absolutely,
Every phone call I've made, I've never got a no. It's always a, how can we help? I'll actually add this. So, like even with Jules, Tasty Az, I said, oh, can I have the machine? She's like, and I'll offer training and I'll, like, they just...
Incredible.
There's just all these people around that if they see something worthwhile and they see that it's going to affect the youth of our area, that they're
having pitches 100%
to jump on board.
Absolutely.
And that's the case, like, with the overall youth hub that and that that concept that we're trying to come up with. So all the conversations I had in terms of user groups for the new pavilion. There is a great need for a centralized
space, a place.
Space for the youth up here. And I think that if we can engage more youth in activities, no matter what it is.
Beyond the sport.
Beyond sport. It doesn't have to be football. So I'm in talks with people about bike riding. So the kids can, if they want to go riding and they haven't got the means to buy a $5,000 bike, they can get a bike, they can get taught how to use it, they can get taught how to service it, they can, and then they'll be a part of our club.
Yes.
So they can go for rides, they can use the club, they can run social events from our pavilion, things like that. It's also the same for, so I've everyone I speak to, basically, there's an idea.
Wanting to see this happen,
There's an idea coming out of there. And look, you get a lot of people say, oh, my kids don't like footy, but they like this. Okay, cool, let's set something up there.
Yep.
So kids can just go there and they can feel like they belong, and that's sort of the aim.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So people listening here and thinking, oh, I want to be involved and or support or find out more. Yep. A few chances you can go popping out of the cafe. So what days are you open on weekends?
So at the moment, because it is a slow time for the bikes and the weather is unpredictable, and from what I've been told, the tracks are really quick.
Yes.
So when they're wet, they're a bit slippery. So only the really advanced riders come down. So we're a bit slower. We just depended on day by day on the ticket sales and stuff like that. But we'll pretty much be open every Sunday. And when the weather finds up a little bit, or we're sort of playing it by year.
Yep.
But
the sun shines.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So Sunday for sure. If you want to pop down and make sure you'd be there as well. Yeah. You got a cuppa and a bite to eat and have a chat.
That's right.
And you got some big events coming up, because you got some big events coming up to a bit of fundraisers and celebrate 70 years of the club. So tell us a bit more about those fundraisers, people can come down and support and find out more.
Yeah, definitely, mate. So for one of our biggest fundraisers, we have a golf ball drop, which is pretty common in the football world.
And if people I never heard one before. It's new to me. Yeah. So you can explain, what is a golf ball drop?
So I've never done one before either. So we're sort of just winging it as well. But so basically the theory is you buy a ball, it's you can buy $50 for, I think it's 5 balls.
Yeah.
And we put them in a bucket. We go up, we tip them out, and it's closest to pin. So we've got, it's pretty simple.
Yep. So imagine a big concept. Big cherry picker or something, you know, like all the balls there. You buy a ball, you dump it out, there's a target bottom, and whoever's ball lands close to target.
That's correct.
Yeah. You got some great prizes, not just one, but you've got multiple prizes on offer.
Yeah. So the closest is $4,000.
Yeah.
Second closest is $2,000, and third closest is $1,000. So it's worthwhile. For $50, absolutely, you could triple your money in some stages. And then following that, we have a trivia night, and that'll be based, that's on the 27th of June at the Warburton Football Club.
Lovely.
They've generously lent us their space.
Wonderful.
Their social rooms.
Yeah.
A bit of a, it's a fundraiser for the club, but it's also a chance for the parents to get together and
celebrate 70 years. So those dates again, the ball drop is at the Warburton.
Yeah, Warburton Football Club. Mac Oval there, Mac Spike Oval. And it's June 27th.
Yes.
Starting at 5:30 PM.
Lovely.
But you can buy your tickets from the counter at the cafe.
Yeah.
And it's open to anyone, not just the footy club people. It's
community event. Course.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then following that, we have our 70-year gala.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the 22nd of August at the Warburton Golf Course.
Golf course there.
And that's, we'd love to see, because obviously the club's been going so long. We have people maybe in their 90s that are playing.
Yes.
We'd love to see as many past players as we can, and families that have contributed to the club over the years come back, look at some memorabilia. We'll have some
tell some stories,
guest speakers, and things like that too. And just celebrate it and celebrate what the organisation has given to the community over the last 70 years, and all the people that have made it. All the communities and the committees and all the volunteers that have made it work.
That happened, it's amazing. Definitely. So people want to find out more, they can jump on the internet and they can find you on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, the Wesburn Junior Football Club. So we do a lot of fun content with the kids and stuff like that too. You can find out all that. If you want to buy tickets, you can in person, just come to the counter at the cafe, and we'll sort you out there as well.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Josh.
No worries.
Good luck for the ball drop. Good luck for the big gala event. 70 years young is amazing.
Yep.
And I'd love to come back maybe later this year and hear how's it going with the cafe. And another big dream is about the youth hub as well.
Cool.
Beautiful.
Sounds good.
Right.
Thanks for having
Cheers,
me.
Josh.
Another man sing, change your heart to a little white dove. Cause it a feeling that it's the power of love. Love and diamonds, rich like cream. Stronger and harder than a bad girl's dream. Make a bad one good, make your own one right.
Shoes on, yeah, I was rolling and a-jolting, reeling with the feeling.
So welcome back to the Councillors Connection Show. I'm here at the Healesville Library. We're actually recording some on Monday. And I'm here with Katie from the Healesville Library. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
Just saying how amazing the Healesville Library. I say it's probably every month, but the Healesville Library is a phenomenal location where it is in the heart of Healesville. But there's like it's the big spaces you have and the kitchen and the displays, and it's so much happening here. It's an amazing place to work.
It absolutely is. It's like really at the heart of the community, and I enjoy that I get to meet people from the age of 2 months to 100.
Yes.
And just interact with everyone and have a good laugh and make everyone feel welcome.
Yeah, and we're chatting before, you're like, you've been here for 5 years now.
That's right,
library.
Yeah.
But before, you're working in schools as well.
I was, yes. So I've gone from only working with a particular age range, well, unless you include the teachers as well, to working with many, many more people. And I often say I've never seen so many babies and toddlers in my entire life till I started working here.
Yes, I think those beautiful places, the libraries being those third place of people when you're like, especially when you've got a young family, you're like, oh, where do we go?
Yeah.
And it's raining like today. And where's nice and warm and cozy and we feel welcome?
Yeah.
And the library's that library, place.
And everything's free.
Yeah. And it's beautiful to think of like children having those first memories of libraries,
yeah,
hanging out, playing. Has changed so much what libraries are. Like you've got these play areas here and you can be noisy and there's all these programs. And we'll talk about this today. Like, libraries aren't just a place to borrow a book anymore. There's like so much going on, which is so exciting. But what is one of your first memories of a library?
Oh, I've always been a library / book nerd. So
yes.
I remember being in grade 6 and getting to be library monitor and taking the little slips out of the back of the book and putting in the card, and a whole bunch of people have no idea what I'm talking about. But a lot of people will, and it was just really exciting to be invited behind the scenes and to have all of these books that I could just read for free and nobody cared if I borrowed the same one 10 times over.
Yes.
I could do whatever I wanted.
Yeah, I've bought them for like amazing. I love collecting secondhand books, and you're finding old library books, and the back there's the stamps, and there's still the cards sometimes there, and I get like, this is what libraries were like. Now those memories of just like, and holding books is so beautiful, and the stories, and imagine how many people read this book as well.
Absolutely.
A life of a book is pretty special.
I love an ebook because, you know, at 10 o'clock at night when I need a new ebook, it's
so
great.
Convenient.
But nothing beats like opening up like a fresh new book that has come straight to you and no one's touched it before. It's very special.
Yes, yes. And even those books you see have been touched so many times and loved so many times. I found a book years ago at the local dump shop in Wesburn, and it was from 1960s, and it was inside of the description from the grandmother to the grandson.
Oh,
the grandmother saying,
amazing.
I was, you know, when I was a primary school teacher, I read this to my children all the time, and now I'm passing them to you. And she hadn't subscribed her name 1960.
Wow.
And then she gave it to her son in 1997. So for like 40 years, she's had this book in her hand, reading to her children, and passed on to her son, and now I'm reading to my sons as well. But it's just history and stories of books and the histories of libraries too.
Yeah.
All those memories are held inside.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, we turned 50 last year and a lot of people had memories that they wanted to share, which was amazing.
And so many more memories to come too.
Yeah.
So you have, like I said, libraries have books and all these, but also you have so many things are happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing programs that offer. And I'd love to hear a bit what's happening at the libraries in Healesville and Junction this month.
We have a lot of fun things coming up, so a mix of everything. We have coming up quite quickly. In fact, it's this Thursday. You can learn about financial scams at Healesville with the Healesville Community Bank. So it's unfortunately very easy to get scammed these days. But if you know what to look out for and what to do if something you think something might have happened to you or your account, you're way ahead of the game. So the Community Bank will help you get on top of that. And if you just want to come and have a nice chat and a cup of tea and a nice bicky, we've got a community cuppa coming on Wednesday the 10th. So that's 2 o'clock at Healesville Library.
Mm-hmm.
Drop in, we'll have a chat with you. We'll make it all nice and comfortable, but it's a great place to meet people from the community and warm up.
And you were saying too, like the other staff here, I'm really excited about icebreakers, little games, little things. So if you feel like, I don't know anybody, it's a bit weird to rock up and not know anybody, and you feel awkward, like the staff there to make you feel really welcome and help you connect and get to know just names and really fun stuff to like make new friends as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you're not gonna feel awkward because we'll make sure you feel welcome and get to meet some of the lovely people around and also the library staff. We also have a really exciting display in the library at the moment. It's teeny tiny little houses and scenes and setups. So we have the Victorian Association of Miniature Enthusiasts are also putting on a talk about becoming a miniature enthusiast yourself, if you're interested.
Who knew that was a thing?
It's a big and happening thing, yeah. Ironically. but even if you can't get to the event on the 15th, please come into the library and just have a look at the display. It's marvellous and so fascinating. Cool. And if you're interested in learning how to do some nice graphic design, making cards, invitations, or you might have to do something as a volunteer, with organisations in the community, I'm running a session on creating with Canva. So Canva is a free online graphic design service. Makes it really easy. Don't be scared by graphic design because Canva makes it easy for you.
It's amazing. Yeah. And I was saying before, like how much it's changed in the years now. You can literally like click and grab and type, and there's AI now involved that really helps you out. And even a really fun fact about Canva, which I didn't know about.
Canva is actually developed and continues to be developed in Australia. So we invented it. I'm claiming it because I'm Australian tech.
How cool is that? Like we've done the Hills Hoist, the Loma, and Canva. And Wi-Fi.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
But it's so cool. It's, you know, this amazing international organisation and, you know, world leader. And it's Australian invention. So
that's
really incredible.
Yep. So I will break it down and make it nice and easy if you'd like to come and learn about that. Yarra Junction's also got a lot of fun things happening. Lovely, cosy library over at Yarra Junction. I do enjoy when I get to visit or even work there. But they're starting off with an origami session. So origami specifically for adults. So I'm afraid no little ones. But it's very low pressure. Just come along, learn how to fold some paper up, have a good time. And while you are there, I tell a lie. From the 15th, they're also holding a book sale, and funds all go to local charities. I think the last time went to Ben Wareham, they've done that to CFA, so the money goes out into the community. It doesn't stay in the library. And they also have a book chat happening at Yarra Junction.
Which is a bit different than a book, you know, a book club, and here's your book. Everyone reads the same book, but it's a bit different, this one.
It is. So you don't have to read the same book as everybody else.
Yes.
It's just come along, talk about what you have read recently, get some suggestions for other people. So, again, it's very low pressure. Just come and find out what people are reading and share what you've loved. So, and they usually do that once a month. We do it at Healesville as well. Mm-hmm. But Yarra Junction would love some more people to come in and share their reading.
Yeah, lovely.
And if you're a bit of a gardener, or if you're like me and you're a terrible gardener, there is a great session on how to deal with weeds in your garden. This is run by Corey from Yarra Rangers Land Care Network. And he's going to talk to you about identifying weeds, controlling the weeds, and then ideally replacing them with natives that can also help you deal with a weed infestation. So that one is happening on the 17th of June at Yarra Junction. So definitely book into that.
I'm very interested because my front garden area is just, it's all weeds. And a lot of things about what natives are there to actually, if you're going to remove them, great, but how do you maintain that? I don't want to be actually to spray things every month or try to. But like if you can plant beautiful natives that are ground cover, it creates this beautiful environment.
Yeah.
Lovely for the native birds, but also less work for you.
Absolutely.
Thumbs up for that.
Yes. I would like a garden that just does its own thing.
That herself, yes.
Yeah, it's just rustic. It's meant to look that way. Cool. We also have something that's running throughout all of the libraries all winter called the Warm Winter Read. And this is just a bit of a fun challenge to get you into reading. So if you've been looking for the motivation, let it be the Warm Winter Read. So you can set yourself a challenge of maybe reading a certain amount of books for the winter, or just I'd like to read for 7 days in a row. And there are actually a lot of prizes on offer, including an ebook reader. So you will be rewarded with lots and lots of reading and enjoying some new books, but you could also be rewarded with some great prizes. So definitely check that out.
And how do people find out about the Warm Winter Read?
Warm Winter Read. So best place is to go to the library website, so yourlibrary.vic.gov.au. But if you happen to drop into a branch, talk to the staff or scan the QR code on the posters to get started.
Yep, beautiful. And all the things you mentioned are also on your library website. If you just search and browse your library, it's there at the top.
Yeah.
You can find out all the stuff happening in Healesville, and Yarra Junction and all your libraries, but also all stuff that's available and for free that's not your library. You can get it at home. So there's all these iPod, like the podcasting, there's audiobooks, there's an amazing Canopy as well for streaming videos as well. Yes. There's learning ones. There's like so much on offer and it's all free.
It's all free.
And if you're a resident, you get a library card, you pop in and then you can register online and it's there for you and it's amazing.
Do you know, there's something I literally only just discovered myself, even as an employee. It's because it's on your return slip, which I never print for myself.
Oh, I never do either.
If you have a look down the bottom, it tells you how much money you've saved by using your library. So I printed mine out the other day. It turns out I've saved over $7,000 using the library.
Gosh. I just want to print that out just so I
know.
I know,
just to find out. So it really puts it into perspective. Like, you can genuinely
that is very
save
clever.
A lot of money while enjoying yourself.
Yes. Yeah. So all those subscriptions you might have at home, you don't need them. There's one great, but actually there's incredible, incredible streaming services that are available for you for documentaries, but for like amazing films and for kids. And it's found some wonderful things for my kids on there as well, and Canopy Kids.
That's great, yeah. Lots of BBC shows got put on a couple of years ago as well. So if you like your cozy crime, it's a fair bit on Canopy.
Yes. And of course the e-books and audiobooks and everything else. So much on offer. But nothing misses out going to the library yourself. Yeah.
Come see us. We love talking to people.
Thanks much, Katie. So great to hear of everything happening in the libraries as well. So if you want to find more, your library on your browser there, or pop into Healesville or Yarra Junction. Yeah. And opening hours for both sites. You open Monday to Sunday.
Monday to Saturday. So Saturday. 9 till 5:30 on Saturdays. 10 till 1, and on Thursdays, both branches are open until 7.
Yes, nice and late, especially in the winter too, when it's a bit cold and a bit goes somewhere nice and cozy.
Yep.
Hop into the library on Thursday afternoon too. Thanks much, Katie.
Awesome, thank you. It's fun to have this opportunity.
Yeah, and we'll hear from you in a few months' time. We'll go to Yarra Junction next month, but a lot of you, and pop in and come say hello to Katie.
Yep. Yes.
Thank you.
No worries.
And that's the events happening at the library. And here's some upcoming events happening in your community this month. So quite a lot on, actually. So we have the Warburton Film Festival happening starting on the 12th of June to the 14th of June at the Arts Centre Warburton. So amazing local screenings at the Arts Centre in Warburton. So check out Warburton Film Festival online for that. We have Yarra Valley Spoken Word is on the Friday 12th of June. That's at ECOS as well in the Dome there. So if you want to hear some beautiful poetry, come along to that as well. We have the Young Yarranders Artist and Entrepreneurs Market is happening this happening on Saturday the 20th of June from 10 till 2 p.m. at Gladysdale Primary School. This is a creative community market led by young people aged 5 to 18 years old, showcasing handmade products, performances and small enterprises. It's a family-friendly event. It's a great way to support young people, the local talent, enjoying living this morning at this place. It's going to be amazing to see all these young people, these new ideas to come along and support them, and these new business owners who are, you know, 5 to 18 years old looking to start a new business or looking to try their skills. So come along and support that at the Gladysdale Primary School. We have the Wild Winter Warming Bonfire on Sunday the 21st of June from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Warialik Reserve at the Scouts Hall there. It's a family-friendly winter celebration and bonfire with barbecue, hot drinks, live music, free face painting and lantern making, followed by the Lantern Parade at 6:30 p.m. It's a free event run by the Wild Community Group. It's a fantastic event. Always great to come along to that as well. And we have a free screening also offered by the Don Valley, the Don Valley Hall by the Wild Community Group. It's on Friday 26th of June. It's Apollo 13. It's a matinee 11 a.m. at the Don Valley Hall. So free event there, free screening of the Apollo 13 as well. Amazing to see that coming up. And that's it for this month for the Council Connection Show. We've had some amazing chats with Josh and the libraries. And next month, it'll be NAIDOC Week as well. So we'll be having our NAIDOC Week conversations about that and all the things happening in July. Thank you so much, and we'll hear from you next month.